Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and today I'm joined by a couple of our other team members, Brooke and Joni, and it's so good to have the three of us together. It's been a few weeks since we've actually all been on at the same time. So I know, Brooke, you've been having some rather difficult times with your hand and struggling to write and different things, but other than that, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, and it's so good to be back with you guys today.
And you, Joni, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. You know, I love these in-house interviews where we get to really, you know, go over stuff that's going on. And I just love how the energy just flows and we're jam-packed today. I can't wait to hear what Brooke has to say and just jump in and be a part of it.
Yeah, I reckon we've been looking forward to this, all of us, I think, because we really want to discuss an article that Brooke wrote on the 5th of August called Trespassing Spirits, Exposing the Intruder. And it dealt with numbers, and we got so much feedback from people. It was by far and away the most read article we've ever published and the most commented on one as well. We just had so many people going, thank you so much, that article helped us heaps, and we were really bound up in this and so on. So, Brooke, how did it come to be that you wrote this article?
Well, I'll just give a brief summary. I was experiencing this issue for quite some time, about 8-9 months, maybe. I just had never mentioned it to you guys, where it seemed like every time I looked at a digital clock, the numbers, it was always 444. And at first, I didn't think of it as anything. You know, when something first starts, you don't think of it. And then I noticed as time went on, it was happening quite often, like several times a week. And it's not like I was watching the clock. It's anytime I just grabbed my cell phone to check the time, it was already there. Or in my car, anywhere there was a digital clock, basically. Anywhere when I checked the time, it was 444. And as time went on, the reason why I first mentioned it to Joni, I actually had looked it up a while back on I Googled this, and it all pointed to paranormal, witchcraft, astrology, numbers. So I just clicked out of it. I didn't do much research into that. Then finally, when I saw the numbers, it was like, okay, God, are you trying to tell me something? Because like I say in my article, you know, as Christians, our first thought tends to want to go to God. Of course, is he speaking to us? It's not, hey, is the enemy speaking to me? Because it's something so subtle like numbers. You know what I'm saying? That it's just numbers. It seems so harmless, you know? So I brought it up to Joni, and she actually did a search like I did. And before that, you guys, you and some of the rest of the team, I just asked y'all thoughts. I wanted your thoughts. And you gave me some great feedback. Jeremiah 44 is about God's judgment. The number 4 in general is the earth. And, you know, the number 4 means different things biblically, of course. And Chris gave me some good input about it could mean just basically time in general, how time is short. See, all these things kind of go with what's going on in the world right now. So, of course, when y'all gave me that input, I'm thinking, wow, this is really good stuff. This is it. I'm going to write about this. So I started digging into Jeremiah 44 and God's judgment and the number 4 and the Bible, all these things. The problem was I was sitting there writing an article that the readers would have thought God gave me when God did not give me. That was me. That wasn't God. I was finding that research. He didn't tell me to write that. You know, I knew he didn't tell me that that's what that meant. It was just y'all's input. Sounded great. And in the article, and as me and Joni have discussed a few times now, you know, we can take anything, you name it, anything in the world, and open that Bible and start writing up a great article or just a great blog about it and turn and say it was from the Lord because it's in the Word. But it doesn't mean that God gave you that. That's just you going in there and putting the word on paper yourself. So that's how it all began. And I was really frustrated. I really got to the point when I started seeing this 3-4 times a week. I went from ignoring it to thinking maybe it was God to being just annoyed, frustrated. And as we say, as we know, that's not God. God's never gonna bring I was confused. I was annoyed, frustrated. I was just all these things it doesn't point to the character of God and how God speaks to us. I mean, I know how God speaks to us through other things, and there's always a joy there. You know, always. This was just frustrating and wanted to get me angry. So then when I started researching more into it, that's, of course, whenever the Lord just went off and started really revealing what this was. And Joni and I had talked about it and it being a trespasser and a hider. And really, man, this is one of the dangerous types. Think about it. It's so subtle. He's so cunning. And Satan, you know, he is the great counterfeit. He knows how to come into your life and your home so subtly if we don't have that discernment. And if we're not really focusing on God's voice, we can really fall into danger, you know, in that area. Okay, I'd just like to read one of the messages that was sent to me after one of our new Facebook group members was led to the article. She states, "Dear Brooke, your article on exposing the intruder with the numbers was a complete answer to prayer as to why certain attacks had occurred in my life in the past 8 months. She also goes on to say that her boyfriend was caught up in what they believed was revelation from God in these numbers. And she said, many, many doors were opened through this. And recently, she went through serious prayer, asking God to expose the door where Satan had the legal right to these attacks on her and her boyfriend. And then she said she came across the article on our website, and the Lord specifically told her, this is why. In other words, God basically, you know, led her to the article, and what she had been praying about him exposing where the door was open for the enemy to come in, he took her to the article. And that's just one example I wanted just to give the listeners that we have been really bombarded with, because these trespassing spirits through these numbers, they have affected multitudes of believers. Believers, we're talking about multitudes. And, you know, Joni, if you want to, you know, kind of explain, you know, some of it and what you think about it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I remember when she called me and, like, you know, we talk often and she's never brought it up before. And then she started telling me about it that one day, and she told me about an article. And right off the bat, I was like, no, that's a paranormal act. And I don't buy that for 1 minute that's the Lord trying to communicate to his people through a series of numbers. Anything that comes into our life that begins to control us, mm-hmm. and that starts to distract you, and then it has a power involved in it. It really does. And let me tell you why. Because years ago, the very thing happened to me. For almost an entire year, I kept seeing the same numbers. I won't repeat the numbers, but I kept seeing them no matter what. And I did the same thing. Remember, Brooke, I told you, I said, I started thinking, oh, well, maybe this is from the Lord. Maybe he's trying to get my attention to a certain chapter and a verse. I began to pray about it. Of course, there was silence. I could get no answers. And then it got to the point where I began to grieve. I started to, like, it was almost haunting. You know what I'm saying? And finally, one day it came to me. I thought, wait a minute. If this was of the Lord, then God would absolutely tell me, plainly, like he has always spoken to me plainly. And so I thought, you know what? I prayed. I said, you know what, Lord, if this isn't of you, then I rebuke this in the name of Jesus Christ, and I cast it out. And you know, from that very moment on, it stopped. And so this is what the enemy does. You know, we're so used to having the enemy an intrusion. Enemy intrusion to most people is like, oh, well, we're oppressed. There's a spirit of oppression upon us. Or all of a sudden I feel sorrowful, spirit of sorrow. But, you know, the enemy can come in.
You can feel that. You can feel that. But what you're talking about is actually like, I also gave an example in the article. It was exactly what happened to Paul when that woman, the spirit, she had a spirit of divination. But he knew that. And then she kept following them around. And she was actually, you know, what she would speak sounded so great. You know, these are mighty men of the Lord who bring salvation, you know. But it says that Paul's spirit became grieved. It didn't mean he became sad. That is not, when you go back to the Hebrew, he was not sad. He was frustrated. He was getting angry. He recognized what it was right off the bat. Okay, so if in the here and now, if you had someone come up to you or was around you and they started proclaiming like great things about you, would you be able to discern that as a spirit of divination? Or would you think, oh wow, what a Christian, what a nice person?
It's even like the people, you know, I think I should buy whatever the car is, you know, I should buy a such and such a car, and I think I should buy an orange one, and I know I should buy that car because today I saw 15 of them driving past, you know. I mean, and that sounds silly, but I've actually heard that as an example, really, in real life more than once.
Right.
And, you know, you see things and you can use it thinking it's from God when it's not.
Right. Well, as far as I was telling Joni the other night, as far as like numbers, there's, in reference to what you're saying right there, there's like countless numerical coincidences that are coincidences. They are. They're just, it's just sheer coincidence. And we can take any number or a group of numbers and convince ourselves there's a rational explanation behind it. You know, I was giving her examples, and she had seen them too, and maybe some of the listeners have seen some of these examples, but I was giving her the examples of two presidents, Kennedy and Lincoln. Lincoln was born 1860, you know, Kennedy 1960. They were both assassinated on a Friday. Lincoln was killed in the Ford Theater, and Kennedy was killed in a Lincoln made by Ford Company. I mean, do you understand me here? And someone can look at this, and I told Joni, listen, there's actually a name for this, selective reporting. It's selective reporting. What happens is, anything that fits in the picture you're trying to make, you keep, and anything that doesn't fit, you just throw out.
Yeah.
So in the end, you know, you have what looks like this pretty little picture, and I also went as far to tell her, I mean, okay, so you take the letters FB and I, FBI, and you forward each letter by six, and that comes out to LHO, Lee Harvey Oswald. Oh, so the FBI must be involved when it comes to Lee.
Yeah.
Okay, really? But okay, we're joking. But people do this. They seek after it. That's the thing. The seeking is the problem. God is not going to, if God's going to speak to us, he's the author of numbers, of course. If he's going to speak to us using his numbers, we're going to have a peace. We're going to have a peace about it. And we're not going to have to go chasing after what he means. We take it to him, we pray, and he will reveal it. It won't be a constant chase. And plus bringing up silliness. It's games, and God just does not play games. But he can speak through numbers. That was one of the issues we came across, where just a handful of people, you know, came back, read the article. And because I hadn't clearly stated at that time in the article that, yes, God can work through numbers and speak to you. I am not stating that. A Minute to Midnight is not stating that. I am specifically speaking of the enemy here. You know, I thought that was self-evident, though, in the article itself. But I did come back and kind of write a disclaimer of that so people could see that, oh, yes, we know God can. You know, there's many, and I'll let Joni take over with that. There's many ways God worked through numbers biblically, but like also in God's nature. The butterfly, you know, all 26, we've heard of, you know, the butterfly alphabet. All 26 letters of the alphabet are found on the wings of butterflies. But not only that, 0 through 9 are also found, those numbers. In nature, you have, you know, things like, you know, his number 7, that's spiritual perfection and completeness. And music notes, you have 7 main music notes. And in the rainbow, there's 7 colors. And it's so beautiful how he uses numbers. And like I said, I'll let Joni get more into that and speak about that. But there is a difference between how the enemy comes at us with these numbers and God. And there's always, like Joni had mentioned it one day, when God used numbers in certain ways, they always preceded these mighty acts of God. They always did. It's just amazing how he did that. You know, the prophets of old and the disciples didn't go chasing after, you know, groups of 3 for this, or God told us to go. You know, he was clear cut about what was to happen, like yeah. Jericho, march around the wall 7 times, and on the 7th day, you know, God was clear cut with it. The enemy's not. He brings frustration, confusion. He misdirects you. And the danger with that is then when you start ignoring it or allowing it, you give it the legal right to come into your home and not only affect you, but affect everybody in the home, which you can read more about in the article, you know?
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll let Joni jump in here, and then we can get into how the occult actually uses numbers as well, and that's an important part. But Joni, you can fill us in about the God aspect.
Yeah, I mean, let's just look at what is very simple. You know, I mean, God stands outside of time. We all agree that there is no time outside of eternity. He is from eternity unto eternity. So when he began to speak into existence during the creative week, we have a play-by-play 24 hour a day, the first day, the second day. So the reason he had to bring the element of numbers in is because he now is working within the realm of time. So after he established that, you know, we have 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you know, we have all the, you know, the whole day. And so we can take that further, you know, and of course, you know, we look at the fact that we can look at things like the number 7, like you were saying. The Bible is set up into a heptadic structure. It's called the heptadic structure of Scripture because it's set up in segments of 7s, which is a number of completion or perfection, right? So we have number 1 would be the number 1 of, 3 is a number of divinity, 2 is a number of witness. I mean, we can go on and on, right? 5 is grace, all those things. You look at the number 40. 40 is a number of probation. You know, we look at the 7-year period of it. You know, all these different things. Jesus Christ was 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, and, you know, Jonah, the whole thing. Well, that's because God was working within the realm of 24-hour days. If there's literally 3 flocks of sheep, he's going to say there are 3 flocks of sheep. What the enemy does is, see, the Lord has a voice. Read Psalm 29. Okay, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. It cleaveth the forest. It, you know, the whole thing is set up to talk about his voice. And when the Lord speaks, he's very clear when he speaks. Every time I've ever heard the Lord, he spoke directly to me. He may speak to me in his word. It's written down. He doesn't need numbers to lead me on a crossword puzzle chase to figure out, right? Because it says that Jesus Christ, remember, he is the mystery that has been revealed, okay? And the one thing, when they crossed the Jordan, the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, the first thing God commanded Joshua, he said, set up stones and make an altar and write upon it the laws, my laws, and write them very plainly, okay? So when God speaks, he speaks plainly. I love this example in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, where he said, God spoke to Isaiah and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And not to mention, let me tell you this, in Isaiah 50 verse 4, Isaiah says, for the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to give an answer in season unto him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He awakened my ear as that of the learned. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul the Apostle speaks of voices. He says, there is, as it may be, very many voices in the earth, but only one has a life-giving sound. And if you're not certain about that sound, how will you know how to go out to war? Okay? So when the enemy starts to set up a dialogue, starts off as a monologue, he's a tricker and he's a hider. So he likes to come in different ways that you are not going to expect, okay? And like Brooke was saying, look, it was almost a year in her house and she was just going along with it because she thought it was God. But you know what? That was for her benefit and for all the listeners. The same with me. So don't ever, before I say don't ever let the enemy take you there, the one last thing I'm going to say, and then Brooke, I know you have stuff you want to share, but I want to say this. My experience with it is I have seen people, and Brooke and I recently, you know, there was an individual we have came in contact with, super intelligent person, has great stuff to say, but was taken care, this individual was taken hostage, so to speak. This person got so involved in looking up numbers and numbers. He was on a wild goose chase, and it led him to, well, this number I found, God directed me to this very thing, and it was to Harry Potter, an occult personage. Mm-hmm. The other one was to some car that was used in a murder, a cursed automobile, and to a king, a despot king. So he was so adamant that all those things were from God. But notice every time God, like Brooke said, every time God ever mentions a number, it has a absolute direct relation to the work of God and to the things of God, to his creation, and things attached to prophecy. He doesn't give you a number and then make you, I mean, God is, he's the biggest communicator in the world. So when he speaks to us, Brooke, Tony, have you ever heard from the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you heard from him, were you wondering what he said? Like, you heard him,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
How do you hear numbers?
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, it's it just brings confusion because it's like it's a number and you're going, oh, what could that mean? And there's no clarity in it, you know? And I mean, we got so many people, various places commenting, and the thread was the same. I've been seeing 1111 or 444 or,
yes,
you know, all these different numbers and so many people. And then a lot of them were really bound up in it and not finding any freedom in it. It was a kind of a bondage, really.
And when you go look this up and Google it, it's disguised as some spiritual goodness of God, calling them angel numbers and archangel numbers. And this means your angel is right next to you and its presence. And it's a bunch of new age garbage. That's exactly what it is. But there's literally Christians writing that they're seeing this and, oh, their angels are near. And you see words like energy and forced it. It's new age. And if you're in it, it's a lie, and you need to get out of it.
And the thing is, the occultists and the Illuminists, they are the ones that actually use these numbers. And they do everything based on numbers like 44 and 33 and 11
yes.
and 9. And so for them to be basing everything they do should be a warning for us for a start.
Yes. Well, originally, I won't say much on this, but in the occult sense, now twisting it over from God back to the enemy, you know, I did some research and I'm going to bring up astrology. And why I bring that up, it's because it's a divination art. It teaches the relative positioning in the sky of the sun, moon, planets, but it's a divination art, okay? And way back when, in ancient Babylon, you know, they had the cuneiform tablets. They had, when these tablets were excavated, they literally had tablets depicting horoscope charts on them, like from 5th century BC, okay, and earlier. But we also see in Isaiah 47, this is like one of the first mentions of astrology. And you know, Isaiah here, it says, all the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who made prediction month by month, let them save you from what is coming upon you. Surely they are like stubble. The fire will burn them up. And it goes on and on. And there, God is speaking to the people of ancient pagan Babylon, you know. But why I'm bringing up astrology is because I wanted to tie it to divination art. Also, when you get into things like occult numerology, okay, numerology, the definition of that, any belief in the divine, mystical relationship between a number and one or more coinciding events. The danger comes in placing faith in numerical patterns here. You can go back with numbers as far as, you know, numerology goes way back. Then you have something called Pythagoreanism, okay, founded in 525 BC by a Pythagoras. This was a cult brotherhood. Okay, a cult brotherhood. Now, he himself, Pythagoras, considered himself like semi-divine. He had a semi-divine status. And he associated himself with the superior god Apollo, the Greek god. Okay, do you see where we're going here? Now, the thing is, in this system, Pythagoreanism, it was a system that included music, and guess what? Astrology. And I'm talking about harmony with the universe when I'm talking about music. Mystical things. Okay? So this all ties in. There's something else called the Chinese. It's called the One Qing.
I Ching.
It's that ancient Chinese text.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was originally a divination manual in 1000 to 780 BC. Everything you go back in occult numbers, in any culture, everywhere I've looked up, you will find astrology, mystical music, you know, no, all this stuff. And I brought up at the beginning of my article, Deuteronomy 18:10. And, you know, here the Lord's telling us that, you know, we aren't to use divination or be an observer of times or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or a wizard or necromancer. All of these things. Now, why I brought up all of that is, okay, so where do you think originally man, you know, came up with all this astrology that dives into this divination and the numerology, which dives into all of the same thing? It all ties together. Well, I know it's not canonized a book, but we can use it for a lot of understanding. It's the book of Enoch in chapter 8. Now, if you just listen to this, then you can understand where it all comes from. And it says, and Azazel, which was the name of a fallen angel, a watcher, taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, and bracelets and ornaments and the use of antimony. And that's a mineral. And the beautifying of the eyelids, that's a makeup for women. And all kinds of costly stones. Now, see, we're getting into jewelry, makeup for the women. The color, let me go on. And there arose much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray and became corrupt in all their ways. Now, Enoch goes on to say, Semjaza taught enchantments and root cuttings. Armoros, the resolving of enchantments. Hold on, this is a hard one to pronounce. Bera Quijal taught astrology to man. That is who they're teaching it to. To man, to women and men, daughters of men, sons of men. These are the watchers. Cocobel, he taught the constellation. Ezequiel, the knowledge of the clouds. Eraquiel, the signs of the earth. Another one, the signs of the sun. Another one, the course of the moon. It goes on and on. He literally names the watchers and exactly what they were teaching. And what I wanted to point to is they taught men all these things. I mean, even women ought to put on makeup. Astrology, the constellations, enchantments. So here you go. Here is where it came in. It came in from the fallen ones, directly who had fallen from God's kingdom, cursed to the earth, and they taught it to man. Not because it was a good thing.
Yeah.
And they twisted it.
Yeah. And it's interesting.
That is when you started twisting up numbers and everything, because that's what they did to corrupt and to twist. And of course, it's just been brought down generation, culture and culture, you know, comes up with more and more different wicked methods of how to use numbers.
Well, you mentioned earlier about Pythagoras and Apollo, the Greek god Apollo. See, I think 44, you know, which is one of the ones that people, you know, they're seeing 44, and you were the one as well that did. Well, the Greek god Kronos, who had 44 assistants in Greek mythology, and he was a serpentine god who's usually portrayed as an old wise man with a white beard, and we know that personification as Father Time. You know, people talk about Father Time, and that's who they're talking about, the Greek god Kronos. And I know the Illuminati, for a start, Kronos is big in things that they do. So they associate, you know, everything they do with numerology and the Freemasons. And 44 and Kronos is one of the really big ones that they actually use. So why would God use a counterfeit Father Time type figure?
That's right.
And use 44 when we know that the Illuminists and the Freemasons, etc., are using that exact same thing. So God is not going to confuse people by doing the same thing. And Joni,
yeah, he's not going to represent himself in the same representation of Father Time.
No, exactly. And Joni, I mean, you know, sometime we'll have to get into it in another show. You know a heck of a lot about Freemasonry, more than about anybody else I know of, because you know, and you know that how the occult uses all these numbers, and Freemasonry uses it so strongly.
It's true. Freemasonry, like the first 3 degrees, you know, the first of all, you know, look at the square and compass. You know, they look at Lucifer as the architect of the universe. A regular Freemason, like the first, every Freemason takes an oath to lie. But when you enter into the first 3 craft degrees of Freemasonry, you know, they're referred to as in the Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. It's like their Bible, although they have their own Bible. And You have to read that, which is a kind of pretty much an impossible book to read, but it's occultic to the core, okay? Because they do everything by degrees. That's why you have the square and the compass. That G, they'll say, oh, it means God, but it really means generative power. And so that generative power means it goes all the way back to Egyptian antiquity. And all those numbers correlate with pagan witchcraft, spells, incantations, and powers. So the higher you go up into Masonic degrees, you're making more oaths to Lucifer, who is the light bearer. That's the mystery of their antiquity. And so he is the god of Freemasonry. So numbers are very huge to them. That's why they go into all those different degrees of Masonry. But it really does have its roots in paganism, because they look at Lucifer as being the light bearer, who bears light to all mankind. So Satan, he has nothing to go on, all right? So what he's going to use is what is already created. So he's going to attach numbers to letters, and he's going to create this whole kind of mystical way to approach into the heavenly realm. Like, you know, have you ever heard of that book? It's kind of going off into another thing. It's called the Necromonicon. Have you ever heard of that book? It's like one of the most dangerous books in the world.
No, I haven't, because I don't read them. So,
well, you would never want to read this book. And what it is, it's probably one of the most dangerous books in the world. But they're given to really high ranking people that are in black magic. And what it is there are 13 gates that you have to go through into the second heaven. And each gate, there's an angel. And you have to work with this angel to go through each gate. And a lot of people, as I understand it, through my research, they have died just getting into the third and fourth gate. Is that a reality? I don't know. But, you know, we can also look at the Sephiroth tree in Kabbalah. So that Sephiroth tree became which is Jacob's ladder, right? Genesis 28, Jacob sees a ladder reaching up to heaven in a dream. He sees Christ at the top, angels going up and down the ladder. And so in Kabbalah is ancient Babylonian black magic school of mysticism combined with Judaism. That's where Jesus says, don't, you know, you guys, he tells the Pharisees, you guys, he says, you don't obey the commandments of God. You trade them in for the traditions of your fathers. Well, he's talking about the Kabbalah, okay, the Kabbalah. And so what that is the Kabbalah is, they created a thing called the Sephiroth tree. And what it is man's own way. You work your way up this ladder. And there are different numerical things you have to do. There's three angels involved with the Sephiroth ladder. So what it is you are now in charge of ascending that ladder through different ways and means and incantations with the different help that you get through these angels. So you ascend into heaven, and therefore you deify yourself and you become your own God. You enter into heaven on your own. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we look at everything in witchcraft. Like, I've studied Freemasonry very well, like for 10 solid years. I've studied witchcraft and all three branches of it. And numbers are huge to them. They absolutely use numbers. It is a pagan basic principle that even begins in Wicca. So Satan is not a creator. He is a created being. He uses created materials. Things God already did, because he's going to use it against God himself, just like he tried to use his word against him himself in the mount, you know, when he was being tempted. Remember when he three times he said, if thou be the Son of God, and remember, and then he even quotes a scripture. So he tries to use his own word against him. But mm-hmm. The number part that we're going to get back to is that there are big players in the earth. Now, you spoke about the Illuminati. You know, that's you know, we're talking like high Luciferianism, okay? And so when you get into that Luciferianism, you are definitely involved in some power that the enemy's not just going to let those people go. But it all has to do with numbers. Everything in witchcraft has to do with numbers. Of course, the classic 13 and the number 8 is classic in witchcraft. The Illuminati have all different kinds of numbers that are very important. In fact, they have, there's two branches of Freemasonry. There's the Southern branch. Yeah, Southern Freemasonry, right? Which you have the 33 degrees, 33 being honorary. But the York Rite Freemasonry is Northern Freemasonry. That's where you get into all your mysticism and your grand worshipful high priests. And, you know, they get into some very big mystical things. And they use numbers like crazy. And don't forget, evil spirits attach themselves to numbers. Okay? When I did that little bit of a research, you know, about the 444 and stuff, it says, and it was written by a person who's steeped in New Age, and she said that these angels are assigned and sent to individuals, okay? Out of the mouth. Here we have it, out of the mouth of somebody practicing witchcraft. So she knows firsthand, okay? And I didn't just read hers. I spent quite a long time researching. So what do we have? We had an outpouring of people saying, you're not going to believe it. Oh my gosh, this has happened to me. And it was like somebody ripped the cover off. And we're seeing now so many people are saying that is happening to me. What it is the biggest distraction. But what people need to understand right now, this is a trespassing spirit that was assigned to them. Notice when you read your angel number, it just so happens to coincide with what's going on in your life, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So then that's the legal thing. They come to you, but you have to accept. You have to agree with them. So they work on you. So the moment they know there's a thing that those spirits, they watch you, the moment they start to see that you have now agreed with them, that now gives them a legal premise to now come in. Because, see, the person who's going through difficult things, the most people that I know that got into angel numbers were always people that were going through divorce, some sort of horrific loss, a terrible change in their life, terrible struggles. Next thing you know, they're like, but this angel number gave to me, and there's this angel, and it sent to me.
They're looking for something good and comforting. It sounds good.
And it comforts them. Now, then when they agree with that, now it's on. So that spirit that came in first to tempt, to seduce them and tempt them, will now bind them. And mm-hmm. once they bind these people, they will begin to control them. And then as they control them, now they're having them go into delving into deeper things. And by that demonic power, they have power to deceive. And they can give you all the same emotions that are counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. And the deeper you go in, then they start to pull out a little bit more. So now you start to feel, now the power that they were giving you to feel good, they inject feelings of comfort, counterfeit feelings of joy. Oh, I am protected. Now they start to pull out. And now they start to tempt, they start to torment you, and they start to accuse you before God. So these spirits are sent. I'm telling you, whoever is listening, if this is happening to you, these are spirits that are sent to you. They have coldly been calculating every event in your life. They know everything that you're going through. They watch you. Spirits are sent to you. And, you know, a lot of you are saying, well, I'm a Christian. The enemy, that's the reason he does it mostly to people that are Christians.
Yes.
Okay? Because what happens is, without you knowing it, you are buying into a demonic adherence to your life that will control you. It will turn you away from the Lord, because now you're putting more emphasis, instead of getting comfort from the reading of the scriptures, which is why we're told to read it through the comfort and patience of the scriptures, we read it. Now you're getting comfort and patience from some invisible force that is masquerading and impersonating an angel, which we are never to have anything to do with. We are told if we, Paul says, if we, for if any man or an angel other than us comes and preaches unto you a gospel that we haven't preached, then let him be accursed. Again, I say unto you that if any angel comes to you and you believe, he says, and preaches anything other than what we have taught you, he said, let him be accursed. He said it twice because two is the number of witness, right? So that's a number God uses to bear witness of his own truth. Okay? So go ahead, Brooke, because I know you have more to share.
Can I just interject for a second? I just want to mention years ago, I knew somebody that Brooke mentioned, the I Ching, the Chinese. I mean, this person would virtually do nothing without throwing these Chinese coins to get for an answer. And so his life was based on the I Ching, and basically basing your life on looking at numbers or basing decisions is no different than throwing I Ching or I Ching coins. Okay, Brooke. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, that's just what I wanted to. I just want to say this real quick because I noticed something. Someone spoke about, and it's happened to a bunch of us. I mentioned earlier the danger comes in placing faith in numerical patterns. And the thing is, okay, you may, there's a lot of Christians, like I said, I saw someone write about this after I wrote the article. They were praying for someone in their family one night. They felt the Holy Spirit move in them and they had to pray for someone, a certain person in their family. So they went into prayer, okay? And after they prayed, they happened to look at the time. And not long later, their family member came in and they had found out, you know, they had almost gotten a really horrific accident. And just at that time, they either got into it or almost got into it. That was when the Holy Spirit, you know, had made her pray for her family member. Okay, that's one thing, you know. That's understandable, okay? Something happened to me a long time ago where an intruder was trying to break into my home around 1 a.m. And the next day when I got to work, my friend said, hey, is everything okay? God woke me up last night. The Holy Spirit told me we had to pray for you. She even went wake up her mom. And they went into warfare. It was 1 a.m. And it was at that time there was this man trying to get in the house. Obviously after me and my mom, because he wouldn't stop until finally the cops showed up. But, and so God led them to pray. It's just like this lady I was saying was praying for a family member at that certain time. And that's fine. That's just showing you, okay, well, God did his work in that time. He was going to do it regardless, you know. The problem comes is if one starts chasing that. You understand? They start chasing like, okay, it's this time and I'm praying because I know something bad's going to happen at this specific time because every time I pray at this, you know, something bad always happens at this time. So they start chasing this. There's a difference between God answering a prayer at just a time you happen to look up at. Because I guarantee you, let me tell you something. If you don't look at the time, the family member would have still come back and God still would have answered. It's not the time that did it.
Yeah. Joni, have you got anything to finish off with and maybe close in prayer?
Yeah, you know, I just want to encourage everybody that's listening right now. If this is happening to you, I think I would say that I have everybody's heart here that's on our team, that we encourage you to really, really know your God and to really, really know that. Think about the fact that he gave you a voice and he gave you a language, whatever your language is that you speak, he's going to speak to you in your language and he's going to make it easy to hear his voice because he is the biggest communicator. When you speak to Jesus in your prayer and you're just talking to him, he hears your voice, and he has a voice too. See, the enemy uses things and he operates in paranormal activity, and he tries to let you think that it's God, but it's not. And we love you a lot. We just want to thank you for listening to us because, you know, you all of our listeners, wouldn't you guys agree that they've played a huge part, I know, in my life, in our life. It's made us better of who we are and what we do, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, we're just going to pray right now, and we're just going to also pray for all of our listeners right now because we know that you're listening. I can definitely feel the Holy Spirit right now, and I believe he's touching your heart, so we're just going to go ahead and pray. And so, Father in heaven, we just come before you right now, and we just want to thank you so much for this time that you have blessed us with. Yes, time. We're redeeming the time. Like you said, do not be unwise, but be ye understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And redeem the time, for the days are evil. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that every word that was spoken today by Brooke and Tony and myself, and that is being witnessed by you, by the Holy Spirit, we just ask that the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, you just take these words and you minister these words into the hearts and minds and ears of everybody that has listened. And that, Lord, you begin to reveal yourself to them and that you open up their ears to hear your voice. And that you would turn them away, Lord God, from idle practices, Lord God, that the enemy is tricking them in. And shine your bright light upon them, Lord God, and show them that you are not a God of confusion or disorder, but you make everything plain and you speak clearly, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father, that you gave us this time to pray. We ask now for your mighty and amazing blessing to enter into the lives and homes of everyone that is listening. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being able to gather together to do this today in your glorious name. And in these things, we give you praise and we thank you, for you are worthy, Lord. For you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. We say, amen.
Wow, thank you. Well, thanks, Brooke and Joni. That's been great having you both on again today. And, yeah, I love it when we have these little group get-togethers.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's been great to be here today. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, folks, you can find us at aminutetomidnight.com. That's night spelled N-I-T-E. We put all of our shows on there and also well-written articles, including the one we discussed today, which, like I say, you can go back and find, was called Trespassing Spirits Exposing the Intruder. And that's about it for us for today. Please also, if you feel led to, we have a donation button on the website and we really appreciate donations coming in. We thank you so much for those that have been donating. And I write all the music that we use in our shows. The music that's on right now is me, and you can find my music at rockshoresounds.com. Well, that's it for this episode of A Minute to Midnight. So this is Tony signing off, and I'll say goodbye now to Brooke.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.